to see folks out on visitation who had not been, and they came and went out on visitation yesterday, and passing out tracts and knocking a few doors and talking to people.
I was discouraged when no answer came. See, I prayed for years and I still saw no change. I was ready to give up on my wish coming true. But when I prayed that last time, if power
with your Christian life, all right? And what ought to happen, some of you that aren't in a Sunday school class should find one by next Sunday, okay? And you'll have a good time. Be involved in and sit in a class. It'll do you some good to hear a Bible lesson. And we're studying on the armor of God, which is perfect for the theme of the program. So jump in. Be a part. Get in the Sunday school class. Be a part of it. If nothing else, you can fill out the worksheet, you know, and be a part of the count for the attendance. So jump in, and Sunday school teachers, let's do our good job here and have a good time these next five Sundays during this fall program. I want you to turn to Matthew 13, and I want to wrap up this evening now with a very simple thought for you from the Kingdom of Heaven parables in Matthew chapter 13, and I want to begin reading in verse number 36. We'll just remain seated now since we've already had our special and everything, and just jump right into let me say a few words to you tonight. And this is vitally important. I don't apologize for anything that was done tonight. The report on the church in DeKalb was important. And then this promotion for our fall program is important because of what I will talk about this evening. Look at verse number 36 of Matthew 13. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Now you'll find the parable, we won't read it, but you'll find the parable in the same chapter, verses 24 through 30. Jesus is telling, there are several Kingdom of Heaven parables. That was actually the second one that he told, okay? So that's what he, so they, the disciples said, Lord, tell us what that means. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. That's what I want you to see tonight. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Now, when I talk about the parable, or I mention, or someone else mentions the parable of the sower, your mind and my mind immediately goes to the more familiar parable to us about the man who went, the sower went forth to sow, had the seed and sowed, and the seed fell on four types of ground, fell on the stony ground, and fell on the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground. And of course, the seed that fell on the good ground brought forth fruit. That's the parable we're more familiar with. This is the parable about the wheat and the tares. Again, you can read the whole parable in verses 24 through 30. The Bible says a man sowed good seed in his field. That's what he said back in verse 24, I believe it is. Yep, so the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And the disciples came to Jesus like they did with the other parables and said, Lord, would you tell us what that means? Explain it to us. And Jesus did, and he began to explain what it was. He said in verse 37, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And then he made this statement, the field is the world. The field is the world. And here's the thought I want us to get tonight. We got to see it small in order to see it big. We got to see it small in order to see it big. The field is the world. And we need to see that tonight, folks. The field is the world. That's big. Can you see that? It's not just about us. It's about the world. That's what it's about. The field is the world. That's what God loves. For God so loved the world. When I think about the world and the bigness of it and the need to go to the world, I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's the field. The field is the world. I think about Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's big. The world. I think about Luke 24, where Jesus said, it is said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's big. That's the world. I think about Acts 1:8, where He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. That's the world. And we need to see it big. We need to see our mission big. I want to tell you something, friend. If we get our eyes on the bigness of our mission, it'll make our little petty problems seem more insignificant to us. And the truth of the matter is, friend, we need to see it big. We've got to see it big. The mission for Faith Baptist Church is huge. It is the world. But then I had this thought this week. In order to see it big, you've got to see it small first. For Faith Baptist Church, where does the world begin? Right outside that door. Right outside that door back there. Right outside the door over here. The world begins there. That's where the world begins. Now, it starts right outside these doors. It continues on throughout Illinois. It encompasses the United States of America. It encompasses the entire Western Hemisphere of our world. And it goes through the uttermost parts of the earth. We've got to see it big. Our mission is big. But in order to see it big, if we're ever going to accomplish the mission, we've got to first see it small. In other words, it begins here. I can't tell you how excited I am. I can't tell you how excited I am. Not just about what happened in DeKalb this morning, but how excited I am about the Oswardis and the work that's going on in Oriol, Russia. And I know you enjoyed that video you saw three weeks ago, and it was a great video. And they had more Russian people at their go-away meeting than any that they'd ever had. And Travis Decker is still there, continuing on in their absence, and it won't be long until Brother Don and Ruth by themselves will head back to that part of the world. And we sent them there. And other churches helped us raise the money to send them to that needy, needy area. And I'm excited about what's happening with the Oswardis. I'm excited about what's happening with Dave and Gina Schrock in Belarus. I'm excited about the work that they're doing there and the young people that they had go to the teen conference this year. I'm excited for our own son, my own son, and my own daughter-in-law, who, Lord willing, will fly to Madagascar 1 week from tomorrow. Their container is there. It's unloaded. It's in their house. It arrived in good condition. There was no water in the container. There were only two tubs that were damaged. One of those tubs had clothes, and the other one had frying pans in it, I think. And nothing was damaged. The car, everything was just fine. And the passport that should have taken 2 weeks came in 6 days. And I mailed it off last Saturday, and he got it on Friday. And we got it on Friday. It was in the mail to him on Friday. They should have it tomorrow, and their plane leaves Madagascar on Monday, next Monday, the 15th. I'm just excited about that. I'm excited about what's happening down in Mexico City with Clint Reardon and his ministry down there. Tremendous, tremendous things happening down there with Clint and Rhonda in that area of Mexico City. And then I'm excited about Jason and Heather. Just thrilled. Got an email my wife did from Sue Dexheimer, who's the former Sue Wilkins, and she had been to a church either in the Carolinas or wherever she lives down there, South Carolina, and she had heard that Jason and Heather were going to be there, and they were at the church, and she went to see them, and they gave their presentation, and the pastor was moved, and the church was moved, and they took them home for support that night. And they're getting ready to go. They're real close to going by the first of the year, I think it is. They're planning to be down in the Bahamas. I'm excited about that. I can't tell you how excited I am for all five of those families. I can't tell you how excited I am for Illinois. And just to see this thing work. And we sent for a church planting manual from Oregon, from Brother Mike Mutchler, who planted the Grandview Baptist Church out there. And we tried to follow that church planting manual and get the ideas and follow the procedures. And yes, it was expensive. And Northwest put some money into it. We put money into it. We bought the chairs. We bought the songbooks. We bought the ballpoint pens. Hundreds of dollars have gone into it. And some of the testimonies that were in his church planting manual, we were looking at them, and they had their first service. You know, testimonies from people that had used the church manual, the church planting manual. They had 75 in their first service. They had 85 in their first service. They had 96 in their first service. They had 108 in their first service. And we had 116 in DeKalb this morning. I'm excited about that. There are areas just as needy all over our state. I hope you see it that big. Hope you see it that big. It's not just about what goes on in this auditorium. The field is the world. It's the world, but we're going to have to see it small. We've got to see it small if we're going to keep seeing it big. We can't just see it big and not see it small. Seeing it small means we see it when we leave this auditorium. Seeing it small means we see it in our neighborhoods. We see it where we do business. We see it with our friends and relatives. We see it with our coworkers, because this is where the world begins for us. And then it goes around the globe. We must see it small to see it big. Now, you know, throughout the New Testament, the church is referred to in the feminine gender. You know that. The church is not referred to in the masculine gender. It's referred to in the feminine gender. For instance, we are the bride of Christ. That's the female gender. Now, mothers birth babies. And as a man, I say, amen and glory to God. And hallelujah. I'm glad men don't birth babies. We think we're tough. We ain't tough. You ladies are tough. God bless you. Females birth babies. Mothers birth babies. And when a mother births a baby, it takes something out of that mother. I never will forget watching my wife go into labor 6 times. And each one was just incredible. I never forget it. And to watch my wife, the struggle and the intensity and the strain on her body as she brought life into this world. And then it takes a while for a mother's body to recover. The recovery process is so important. And mom desperately needs the wherewithal to recover and get strong, because now it's not only her, it's babies. My wife had several long talks with Ashley when she was in France. And one time when they were alone together, they were talking, and Joy said, "Ashley, how are you really?" And she said, "Mom, I'm nervous. I am nervous. I tell you that I'm nervous." Said, "The first time I visited Madagascar, I went with just my husband. Now I'm going back to Madagascar to live with two little girls. And I'm nervous." Now, that's how any person would be. The mother must recover. The mother must stay strong. The mother must receive nourishment. She must have the wherewithal to recover and get over that birth, if you will, and stay strong. Usually when a mother gives birth to a baby, mom comes or in-laws come or somebody comes by or ladies from the church show up with meals for four or five days to get mom off of her feet for a few days and give her some rest and give her a chance to catch her breath and just start the recovery process, because it's so important that mom stay healthy. That's why we have a fall program. If we're going to see more people go out of here to distant lands, we have to stay healthy here. And if we're going to see more churches started in the state of Illinois, and I'm glad for every project in Iowa that might be being started. I'm glad for projects in California that I'm aware of. I'm glad for projects in Arizona that I'm aware of. And God bless them. We haven't gone outside of our state to ask for help. We have asked the pastors and churches of the state of Illinois. This is our state. That's your state. This is our state. Let's see God do something in our state. And if we're going to see more churches started in Illinois, then mom has to stay healthy. And I'm not claiming sole responsibility for this church being the mother church of the Providence Baptist Church. It took several churches pitching together. But we were involved in that birthing process. And it is absolutely imperative that this mother stay strong. And this is how we keep mom healthy. We don't have time to put our feet up. We don't have time to take any days. This church right here has got to stay. Listen, I am as susceptible to pride as anybody else. Pride is in us. Nobody in this room can claim that you don't have any pride problem. Because Jesus said that pride comes from within the heart of man. It's inside all of us. And brother, you've got to beat that stuff down and beat that stuff down and beat that stuff down. And I'm careful to try not to come across like we're the only thing. And because we're not. There's a bunch of good churches all across this good land of ours. We're just one of many, I hope. But brother Areza, we went down to visit Irene, Georgia. My wife was practicing in a singing group, and I said, "Brother, would you want to make a hospital visit?" What I like about Brother Areza, he's so down to earth. I'd love to go to the hospital with you, Brother Terry. So we had to see Ms. Irene, Georgia. We had such a good time just visiting her and praying. And then we were headed back, and he said, "Well, Brother," he said, "it's been refreshing to be at Faith Baptist Church. It's been refreshing." I didn't pay him to say that. He already had his love offering when he said that. Amen. So he wasn't trying to milk us. He said, "If you could only know how many places are just going through the motions. They're happy to pay the bills. They're happy to have enough money to pay the staff. Happy to support a few missionaries. And yeah, let's meet for Sunday and ha ha and hee hee and then go home." He said, "If you could know." I just listened. He said, "The word that I feel when I go most places is lukewarm." I said, I'm so afraid of that happening here. I'm so afraid of that happening. God said, "Whether you be cold or hot, then lukewarm." So God would rather a church be ice cold dead if it's not fervent. He said, "It's just been refreshing to be here." And if we're going to continue to see it big, and I hope that you will, and young people, God may want you to be a part of that. God may want you to go where others have not gone. That board out there that says on the wall where our missionaries from our church are located, "Will you be next?" It's not there just to take up space. It's there to get you to think, is that what God may have me to do? And for us to see that continue, we've got to stay strong here. The world doesn't start for us in DeKalb. The world doesn't start for us in the Bahamas. It doesn't start for us in Madagascar, Oriel, Russia, Mexico City, or Belarus. It starts right here, right outside the doors of this building. That's where it starts. And we must see it small in order to see it big. Keeping mom healthy, church-wise, is without a doubt tied to bringing in new blood. Bringing in new blood. And that's what this thing is all about. And believe me, friend, if you will go long enough, you will eventually see somebody darken the doors of this church. That lady that came this morning and walked the aisle for salvation got a visit from a husband and a wife in this church. They haven't had visitors every time they go out, but they've stayed at it long enough that it paid off. And we see these folks come. It's not, buddy, they need to be over. And let me tell you, the definition of friendliness is not shaking a person's hand one time and I've done my duty. The definition of friendliness is reaching out and loving them and making them feel welcome, not once, but every time they come. The world is right outside our doors. Mom must be kept healthy, and that means an influx of new blood. There will be no more Oriole rushes. There will be no Madagascars or Bahamas or Mexico cities or Belaruses. There will be none of that if Mom doesn't stay healthy. And in case you're wondering, ask those missionary families how important it is to them to know that we had a good Sunday. I can't believe how many times my son has said, "How was Sunday? How was Sunday? How was Sunday?" Brother Osworthy will call, "How's Sunday?" How come they listen to everything on the internet? They want to know. The umbilical cord, if you will, stretches from Faith Baptist Church to Oriole, Russia. The umbilical cord stretches from Faith Baptist Church to where Madagascar or Bahamas. And yes, God forbid, if this thing were to go down the tube someday and there was nothing left but a museum here, I would hope that those people would have enough commitment to God and enough dedication to keep on serving Him. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. The best thing in all the world for those families is for that lifeline to stay strong and to have an attachment back home to a church that hasn't lost its fervency. You get my burden tonight. It's not just for me. It's not for our church. It's not just for us. The field is the world. We must see it big. But if we're going to see it big, we can't neglect seeing it small. We've got to see it small or we will never see it big. What I mean is it starts right outside the door. It starts with a gospel tract this week. It starts with a SWAT meeting. It starts with people in this church making time to go out for an hour or an hour and a half, showing up for a Sunday school class, being involved, doing what you can to make this assembly strong. See it big for the world's sake. See it small so we can see it big. See it small so we can see it big. George W. Truett was the longtime pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, a Southern Baptist church. He was a great preacher, well-respected man, and a fruitful ministry. He was in his office one day, and he was entertaining his little grandson. And his grandson was doing what most grandsons would do. He was bouncing off the walls of that office. And he tried to keep him active and tried to keep him, you know, out of his books and everything. And finally he had a thought. And he remembered that in his cabinet drawers he had a great big puzzle of the world. And it was a difficult puzzle to put together. And so he reached in the cabinet, he got the box out and dumped all the pieces on the ground on the floor of his office and called his little grandson and said, "Hey, you like puzzles, why don't you see if you can put a picture of this world together? Try to fit it all together and let me know when you're done." And boy, the little grandson, he just was all excited, jumped in the middle of those things, those pieces of the puzzle, and he started working on it. And George W. Truett turned back to his desk and the work that he had to do, thinking to himself, that'll keep him busy for a while. And in just a matter of minutes, his grandson said, "Granddaddy, it's done." And he couldn't believe it. I mean, a puzzle of the world. Australia and the Arctic and all those South Pacific islands and all of the world. And he could not believe it. And he said, he was exasperated and frustrated because he thought he was going to have several peaceful minutes. And now he looked down there at the puzzle. He said, "Grandson," he said, "I can't." And he looked in there. And on the back side of the puzzle of the world was the picture of a man. And the little boy had flipped it over and got the ear and the eyes, the other ear and the nose and the mouth and the hair and the neck and the shoulders. And he got it all together in just a matter of time by putting the man together. He put the whole world together. And that's what I'm talking about. If we're going to see it big, we've got to see it small. If there's going to be more DeKalbs, there's got to be visitors from Bradley and Kankakee and unchurched people from Mantino in this area that darken the doors of this church through the outreach ministries right here. And if we're going to see it big, and it is big, friend, some of you don't have any idea how big it is. You're all wrapped up in you. And can I tell you, if you're wrapped up in you, it's a mighty small world. Mighty small. It's all about you. It's all about you, and you're this, and you're that, and your problems, and your hang-ups, and you're this, and you're that. And you live in a mighty small world. The field is see it big. But if you see it big, you have to see it small first. So you see it small to see it big. Start right out there. Jump in. Have a good time. Be involved. Let's do all we can to keep mom strong. Does that make sense to you all tonight? What a good service. What a great day Sunday's been. Who would ever dream Sunday, September 7th, 2008, would be such a wonderful day? I'm in the choir song this morning on the value of one. My soul, my heart was stirred. Brother Areza's message in Sunday school class. I had such a good time in my class this morning. I love those folks. And then to enjoy all that we've enjoyed tonight. Who would ever know? Sunday would be so wonderful. God's a great God, isn't He? What a great opportunity to serve Him. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed.